Tina was doing the books when the doorbell to the shop rang. The old-fashioned tinkle was music to her ears. It meant customers, and there were never quite enough of those. She gladly abandoned her tangled finances, shoving the computer in the drawer with a bookkeeping module still on the screen. The man who came in, tall and broad-shouldered, was not a local, but he looked vaguely familiar to her. It wasn't unusual for strangers to come into the shop, even if it was located 20 minutes out of Gandama, and only 30 people lived in the remote hamlet of Dixon's Creek. People around here went to all kinds of lengths to live their lives out of the neighbour's view. It wouldn't be the first time that someone had moved in with family, or married a local, or someone had died and the house had been sold, and the community only found out months later. That was how people rolled around here. She couldn't see his face because he was backlit by the light that streamed in from the window. It was late afternoon and the desert sun was coming in from straight over the dusty fields, where the neighbour's farm robot moved backwards and forwards, raking rocks out of the soil. The stranger wound his way between the shelves and tables displaying electronics and security equipment without stopping to look at any of it. Tina made herself look taller behind the counter of the shop. She quickly rearranged the box of the latest sensors that she had obtained from a dealer in Paris City last week, hoping he would buy a handful of them. Someone had done that just this morning. Like everything that came from off-world, they weren't cheap. The man came up to the shop counter and placed both his hands on the surface. Strange hands they were, too. His fingers were stubby and very short. The skin was mottled, and his fingers were covered with little elongate flaps of skin, like warts. He had so many of them that he looked like a toad. His nails had grown in a curved fashion, like the claws of an animal. He had filed the ends into points. He wore a long-sleeve jacket, despite the heat. The top of the zip fastening was open, revealing a glimmer of body armour. Around his waist, he wore a belt with large metal eyelets, a pirate belt. Typically, members of the pirate or free ranger gangs wore one of these, usually with an array of weapons dangling from it. Those belts had become fashionable in Paris City recently, but it still made Tina do a double take when she saw one. "How can I help you?" she asked, her heart still thudding. She reached under the counter for the fence post she kept there as a weapon, although it would do little against high-quality armour like that, if thuggery was the purpose of his visit. And she wasn't sure. He looked too clean and civilized for that.
"I'm here for the loan," the man said.
His voice was deep and gravelly, but again she sensed she'd heard it before. His face, equally covered in warts, was utterly strange to her. The only part of him that didn't make Tina's skin crawl was his eyes. They were brown and clear. "I haven't applied for a loan," Tina said. "Since when did lenders send people who dressed like pirates, no matter how fashionable the attire?"
"It's not about me giving out more money. It's about getting my money back."
"I don't understand. Who are you? I don't owe you any money."
"You don't have a loan for this shop?"
"Why should that be any of your business? I don't even know who you are."
"I'm Simon Fosnet. I asked you, do you have a loan?"
"I do. But I have never missed any payments, because getting tangled up with unscrupulous lenders was one of the ways people got themselves into trouble in Gandama."
"That's right. I need the money.